It is a hard thing, I'm sure, for Pastor Jean to open the pulpit up to someone who she doesn't know, and I'm not going to mess that up for you, so don't worry about that. My wife would love to be here. My wife, Kimberly, we are in ministry together. God called us many years ago. We went to Bible college together. Came out, I got married in 88, and as Pastor Jean just said, came into our church in 1988 as youth pastors. If I might, last week I was not in my church, so just about this time, my church is joining us with the live feed. And so may I say hello to my people, because they haven't seen me in a while. And so I just want to say hello, Abundant Living. Sorry I couldn't be there with you today, but we're live. And I didn't want to miss being with you today. And I've got a message for you, just as I do for this church today. And so praise God. But Pastor Kim would love to be here. Marcus and Bombi, that we're going to be bringing in at the end of this service today, for as your associate pastors in different ways that they're going to be doing things. We're excited about that, because 9 years ago, I had to ask Bombi, I wasn't sure of the time frame, but I remember it well. 9 years ago, standing at the Philadelphia airport, waiting for those doors to open because you couldn't go any further, for this family, this precious family, to walk through those doors. And I remember there was glass doors that go like this, do you remember? And I thought, oh, they're going to get stuck in there, you know? And just greeting this family, knowing that God had something for them, been with them this whole journey. Marcus has bounced things off of me, and we prayed together and sought God together, and this is an answer to those things. And so it is a privilege to be here for them. It is a privilege to be here for you, because I believe today that God has given me a word for you in this new way that you're going. I did not want to change Pastor Jean's thought of where she was going and the message. It may not be the message that God would have prepared in her heart, but I do believe that no matter what, God's going to speak to us. Do you believe that today? Even a pastor whom you don't know, a pastor whom you've never met before, let's believe that God can use this frail flesh, amen, to speak his word to us today, so that we can see what God's going to do in a great and mighty way today, amen. So praise God. Let's pray. I need prayer. Maybe you don't, but I do. Father God, I just thank you today for what you do in our lives. Lord, I'm privileged. I'm privileged, and I never count it anything else but a privilege and a blessing to be behind a pulpit, God. Lord, I ask today that you would speak over the internet waves into our church, into this church. I pray today, God, that you would manifest your presence, Lord, and that your word would come forth in all of its power and all of his glory, God. And I pray today, God, that you would, as we open our Bibles, as we open our hearts, that you would do something just amazing in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would also like to say, if you saw me texting during a service, I don't do that. And that was simply because I needed to tell my church where we were in your service so that they could join us online. So I always ask people, please put your phones away, and unless you need them for your Bible or something else. But please, I was not trying to be, ignorant or anything else, or disrespectful to what God was doing here. I just needed to let Collins Lakes, New Jersey, Williamstown, New Jersey, know what was going on. So you've been in a series now, New Beginnings, and your message today would have been a new perspective. So let's get into this today. We're over in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. God, bring your word out in all of its glory. Amen. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let me say that again. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Guess what? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do now. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Perspective. It's all about perspective. There's only two perspectives that we need to be worried about. There's only one perspective that we need to be worried about, but there's two perspectives that feed into our living. Anybody found this out? The perspective of man. You watch it when you turn on the news at night. You hear it when you go to work and when you listen to things that are being handed down from authority and those types of things. And then there is the perspective of the living God, the creator of the universe, the one who made all of this, and the one who knows how it functions the best. Perspective, a powerful word, especially when it comes into agreement with the Word of God. When you look it up in the dictionary, you get quite a few different definitions. I picked three today that I wanted to share with you because I think they're important. Number one, it is a mental view or prospect. So this is what happens when we watch the news. This is what happens when our eyes are truly opened to what is really happening around us, when we gain a better perspective or a better understanding of what's really taking place around us. There's a mental view, there's a prospect that develops in our thinking. Number two, the appearance to the eye of objects in respect to their relative distance and positions. Photographers love this one. If you're a photographer, you know how you can trick the human eye, all by perspective, by the way something looks. And so you've seen the pictures, maybe you've taken the pictures, maybe you've held the Washington Monument between your fingers, or you've held the sun in your hand, or you've done something else with trick photography, very easily done by perspective. And so, hey, look what I've got. I've been holding the United States in my hand the whole time, right? That's what Jesus says. But this is what we do, right? I see the Capitol building or you know, whatever the case is. That's the appearance of the eye, where objects are. And then this third one, the one that I'd really love to speak about today because it closely relates to the scriptures that we just read. The capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance. Let me read that again. The capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance. This is what the people who were trying to build the tower that would soon become the Tower of Babel, they were trying to build this tower to heaven. This is what they were not understanding. They were not understanding something from true perspective. They were not seeing that what they were up to, even though they may tell you, well, we're trying to build a tower to God. How many know they didn't have to build a tower to God? Because God promised that He would be with them, that He would never leave them, and He would never forsake them. And so whatever it was, no matter what, they missed the fact that what they were doing was simply rebellion against God. And as verse 4 says, listen to this, I read it twice there as I read it. Verse 4 says, they were looking to make a name for themselves. The healing place at Living Stone Fellowship, praise God. I had it in my mind, but that's how quick it goes. We do ourselves a real injustice, and we get ourselves in trouble every time that we do something, no matter how good it may seem to the community, no matter how right it might seem to the things that we know, if we are just trying to make a name for ourselves. If we are trying to build up ourselves. Yeah, but we want our church to be known in the community. Well, praise God, so does Jesus. But Jesus, how many know Jesus wants to be seen in the community before the church is seen? Amen? And so we do ourselves such a dishonor, and we do Christ such a dishonor. There is only one name that you and I are called to lift up. There is only one name that you and I are called to bring glory to in the way that we do our lives, in the way that we live with people, in the way that we do things, and that name is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And bring glory to our God in heaven for all that He does, all that He continues to do, and all that He is yet to do. Sometimes when we read this, we may think, wasn't it good to build a tower to heaven? Isn't it good that somebody would want to get closer to God? Wasn't this their way of getting to God? Well, maybe it was. I don't know what they were thinking, but it was done the wrong way. It was done with the wrong heart. It was done with the wrong intentions. And I bring that point out again because I want you to know that we live in a world like that right now. Totally like that. You have family members. You have co-workers. You have others whom you do life with. Who believe, listen, you're going to hear this all the time, there are many paths to God. I can get to, listen, I don't need your religion, I don't need your beliefs, I'm going to go my own path and I'll see you in heaven. It's not what the Bible says. That may be man's perspective, that we all take our own journey and that we all end up at the same place. You see, that's a perspective problem. That's a large perspective problem for God. Because it's a wrong perspective. God's perspective is very clear in John 14:6 when Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Listen, no one comes to the Father except through me. People need to get a better perspective if they're going to live lives thinking that they can just get to heaven doing whatever they want to do. Amen? We need to view life. We need to view spiritual life, our spiritual life, through God's perspective, not man's. And so I hear the world saying, well, you're a Christian, well, you've got to say this, and you can't say this anymore. No, listen, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say whatever Genesis to Revelation says. And I'm going to preach it from the pulpit, and I may not always be the most popular preacher, but I'm not out to tickle ears. Because I'm not out to get to heaven and hear God say, you know what? You really ripped your church off. You were not the shepherd that I expected you to be. And you just tickled people's ears because that's what they wanted to hear. And you wanted to get the large numbers. And you just wanted to fill your pews. And so you just said whatever sounded right because you just wanted to gather. That's not me. Matter of fact, our church is probably a little empty today. They may know I'm away and things. And we still haven't got the full crowd back from COVID. I mean, this is over, what, 18 months now, 19 months? And there's still a very large portion watching us online. And praise God for that. I'm glad they're connected, but I want to see their faces. I want to rub shoulders. I want to hug on them. Again, perspective. Here's the point I'm trying to make in all of this. Man's perspective is almost always skewed. Almost. Let's say it like this. Man's perspective is always skewed. How's that? Let's take the word almost out of there. We tend to see mountains where God's perspective sees molehills. Oh, the doctor called me this week, Pastor. Oh, the boss gave me the slip, or this is happening, that's happening. Listen, I get it. When your world is disrupted, when the earth begins to shake under your feet because of something that you've heard, something that you've seen, something that you've experienced in your own body, I get it. It seems like a mountain, but I want you to know from God's perspective, it is only ever a molehill. Because God is able to handle anything and everything that may come our way, that may present itself in our faces and in our lives. We tend to fear when God's perspective is faith.
That's right.
I don't walk by fear. I have walked by fear. I don't have time to get into the stories today about when I was turning 30, so that's 26 years ago, and had bouts with anxieties and stresses and thinking I was having heart attacks and all of this, and how God healed me was just amazing how God healed me. I won't even go. Yeah, it's a funny story, but I can't go there. We tend to worry when God's perspective says, just trust in me. Worry, worry, worry. Pastor, I don't know how it's going to come about. I don't know how I'm going to make the ends meet. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. I can't see this happening. I can't see that happening. No, because you're looking from your own perspective. Look from God's perspective, who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Look at God's perspective, who says, you are more than a conqueror. Look at God's perspective, who says, you are my son. You are my daughter. Look at God's perspective, who says, I sent my son to die for you. He bled for you. He hung on the cross for you. Why would I send my only son to die for you if I wasn't going to do something in your life? Is this registering in your heart today? I pray that there's a faith that's arising. I pray that there's a word that's arising. Are you getting this today? I love verse 6 here. It really is encouraging us. Those of us that are here in the gathering, either in the house or over at Abundant Living or online today. Genesis 11:6. Listen, and the Lord said, I love this. This is God's perspective. Indeed, the people are one, and they will have one language, and this is what they begin to do now. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Look at this today. These people were one. They spoke one language. I got to tell you, even though they're doing what they're doing, God's pretty excited about this. He sees something. God understands unity. Now, the result, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. We're going to come back to that in just a second. But let's look what God has to do because it was a wrong heart. It was a wrong perspective. God has to confuse their language because in speaking one language, anything that they propose to do will not be withheld from them. And so God has to confuse their language. Their unity is broken down because God loves people in unity, but not if we're using unity to do our own tasks, raise our own names, do our own things over the things of the kingdom of God. They can no longer all speak to each other. They can no longer understand each other. And so they begin to separate and move into pockets around the earth of that day that they're living in because of the languages they speak. And the work that they initiated is now unfinished. And it bears now a crazy name, the Tower of Babel. Babel is what? Babel is baby's babble, right? People out of their minds sometimes babble. We don't understand. God bless you. We don't understand it all the time. And so babbling is just this, you know, so it's not that they're babbling, it's that what they were talking about amongst one another couldn't be understood by who's over here. Because God had confused it and given them other language. Nothing that they propose, nothing that they set out to do together will be withheld from them or is impossible to them. Church, when we come into God's perspective, when we live life, when we do church, when we worship with one another, when we react in our community, when you go to that food give out and you give that food out, as under the perspective, under the will, under the Spirit of God, there is nothing that we can dream of, there is nothing that we can propose of that will be withheld from us, because when we come under the perspective of God, we no longer come under man's perspective, and we begin to believe God for greater things, and we begin to do only what God tells us to do, and we begin to only focus on what God wants us to be. It's not about us anymore, it's not about a name anymore, it's not about a trophy or being known for something. It's about being known for the kingdom and the presence of God, allowing God to work in us. And I want to tell you, this is God's dream for humanity. Nothing will be withheld from them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. And then let me read it again, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything I set my mind to or my heart to. Is that what he's saying? No. If it's in God's perspective, yes. But not just because I want to. I can do anything I want? No. I can do all things with the help of all of those around me? Well, having those around us is a great help. But no, we need the strength of Jesus Christ. We need the leading and the guiding of God's Holy Spirit. We need to hear God's voice, to understand God's perspective, to put away our foul perspective, our selfish, ambitious, prideful, jealous, ambition perspective, and just say, Jesus, what you're doing, we're going to do. And if you'll come together on Sundays and worship like that, and you'll come together and hear the Word like that, and allow the Word to respond in your heart, you will go out of this place and do amazing things for God, because it's not your name that's being built up, it's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the church that God wants. That's the church that I believe you want. I know that's the church that your pastors want. So it really isn't us at all. It's Jesus. It's our God. It's His Holy Spirit. So what we did there was just look at two different perspectives. We as humans don't want to be told what to do. Anybody see that? And if you don't believe that, just hang around a two-year-old. Right? I have a grandson who's four. He's a little late in the two-year-olds. But my wife and I were just able to spend a week with him. We took him down to Florida to be with him because they just had a new... my son and daughter-in-law have just had a baby girl. And so we took our grandson, and he's at that stage. And boy, it's brutal. Hey, let's do this. No. Okay. And you know, I'm the grandfather, so I can't really, you know, that's his father's place, that's his mother's place, so we have to devise other ways, you know, because we want to be the favorites, you know what I'm saying? We want to juice him up with sugar and then take him home and say, hey, here he is, God bless you. This is payment for all that you did to us. As human beings, we don't like being told what to do. We want to be self-sufficient, don't we? Men, we need to be very careful. And I know I shouldn't generalize because I know that it's not just men. But men, there's something about the fall of mankind that in the heart of every man is the want and the struggle and the striving with other men to be self-sufficient and to be our own fixer of everything, if I can say that. Okay, so we need to be careful of that. But we want to be self-sufficient, but we aren't. Our doctors want to be gods in our healing. And thank God for doctors. I'm the first pastor to say, go to your doctor. You've been healed? Go to your doctor. Let your doctor run the test. Let him give you the paper saying you've been healed. And let's worship and praise God together because we know you're already healed. But let the doctor say it. Then go off your medications. Okay, I believe in doctors. I believe in medication. I believe in technology. But they aren't gods, because I know there's only one God. There's only one who we should praise. There's only one who we should lift up. Thank God for the doctors. If the doctor does something and you're healed through the doctor's hands, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Doctor, thank you very much. God really used you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I already talked to the men, women. I'm a smart man. I'm not going to pick on you. So I've been married for 33 years now. I'm smart enough to say, women, you figure it all out. You know what you guys deal with, what you ladies deal with. I spoke to the men. You ladies can figure it all out. These are all human, or these are all mankind's perspectives, aren't they? But God's perspective, and the right one, is that we cannot do everything. We can never be little g gods, and we should never be. We cannot fix everything. Why? Because we need Him. Why? Because we were created for relationship with Him, and then relationship with the saints. He sent His Son so that we could make a choice to serve Him with all of our hearts. And He has loved us with an undying and a powerful love so that we would want to serve Him. So that we would want to follow Him. See, I'm not here today because I got to say this right or I'm going to mess it up. I don't know where my thought was. Anybody use sticky notes? My desk is loaded with sticky notes. I'm at that age now where thoughts begin to leave really quickly and things like that. But I wanted to say something to the effect, we need to be careful why we are in places and what we're doing. What are we trying to raise up? Whose name are we trying to build up? Those types of things. And so I wouldn't say, I'm not here to build my name up. I'm here because you're my friends and because you mean so much to us. I know it's killing my wife to be back there when she should be here too. But because of the way things have gone in the last few weeks, it needs to be. But we love you. I'm here because you've graciously, as the pastor of this house, opened this pulpit up to me and asked me to bring a message to your church. I'm here not to build up Pastor Ken. If you never remember me again, it would not bother me at all. Okay, because I'm not here to build me up. I'm here to build Jesus up. I'm here to speak to this church for this time the things that God wants to say in the messages that you're going through. Praise God. God's perspective brings unity and blessing. God's perspective. God knows the power of unity. He planned it for us. Don't you think that God didn't want those people building that tower to be unified? Don't you think that He didn't want them to be speaking one language? But He says, but look what they do. Right? That's what the scripture says. If you read it, He says, wow, they're unified. They're speaking one language. Look what they do now. Right? He says, we got to fix this. Because there's nothing that they won't be able to set their hands to if they have the power of that behind them, and they're going to do it for the wrong reasons. God planned for us to be unified. He planned to release it in us. But when the unity, like the Tower of Babel account here, seeks to bring fame and glory and man's praise, then God has to step in. I've seen God step in my life. I'm sure that some of you could say, I've seen God step in my life because I was going the wrong way. I was building the wrong kingdom. I was about the wrong business. And I've seen God step in. And thank you, God, for your graciousness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness, because you just didn't go psh, zap, and there was ashes. Thank God for that. Amen. Because He had the right to do so. He's righteous. He's holy. He's without blame. Zap! Boom! He didn't do that. He opened His arms and said, come here, my son. Sit down. We need to talk. Right? Now, I'm not saying He doesn't give me a little paddle once in a while. But He says that it is always healing, and that He always wants to build me up, and He always wants to encourage me. And so I thank God for that. And so God has to step in. But in His stepping in, He was actually doing something wonderful. He was going to align mankind, the perspective of mankind, back up with His perspective for them over all of them. This is what happens in the church today as well. We get out of alignment every so often. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. And God stops us. He refocuses us. He aligns the vision of the church back up with His vision for the church, for the community where they're at, for the time that they're living in. I heard your pastor share the history. What a wonderful history. God had a plan. That's right. And He used people to vote somebody out of a church. That's right. Because God had a plan. That's right. God knew on this corner, oh my gosh, what beautiful country. My GPS brought me up through roads that I was wondering, am I going to get there? But it was gorgeous. And I was happy for the drive. But I turned into your drive and I'm like, this is gorgeous. God had a plan. God knew the corners where that stone would be out front. He knew where this edifice would be built. He knew where these people would gather 20 years later. He knew what would be happening on August 8th, 2021. He knew the things that were going on. He understood it. And you are here today. Let's not just say, oh, it was a good church service today. I pray you can say that. But let's go out saying, God moved today. Amen. God had a plan today. I'm glad I was part of that today. I'm glad that something happened in that today. He was going to bring them back to where he had them. Out of this division, listen, out of this division and separation of mankind would come the true blessing of the world. You're not getting it. Out of this division, man speaking different languages, man going their own ways, God would bring the true blessing of the world. He would bring the Savior, Jesus Christ, out of this split, because one of Noah's sons was Shem. And when the difference languages occurs, Shem's offspring become a nation, the Bible says. And we see this important genealogy recorded in the following scriptures in Genesis 11. That's the genealogy of Shem, and there's a reason why it's there. Because in this nation of Shem would arise a man named Terah. And Terah has three sons. You may know one of them. Abram, Nahor, and Aaron, and Haran. And God picks Abram for something great. And let's go down and let's read the promise that God makes to Abram. Genesis chapter 1, verses 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, see, from that separation that I made, come out of it, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Aren't we thankful for the nation of Israel today? Amen. We fly the Israeli flag as well in our church, because we want to be reminded that we have nothing if we don't honor them and what God has done in them. And we're also reminded every service to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, let's read that again. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the people wanted to make a name. Now we know that's Jesus Christ, right? The blessing of Jesus Christ would come through the tribes of Israel, through the tribe of Judah. Amen. So we understand that. The people wanted to make a name for themselves among the heavens. Build this tower. That was their perspective. God's perspective was that he wanted to make a name for himself among the people. He wanted a people of his own. He wanted a people that would be known for his power and that would give him the glory for everything in their lives. And so as the people walked away from the unfinished tower to the heavens, as they walked away from that, maybe hung their heads, they couldn't talk to their neighbor because now their language is all mixed up, heaven came down through the nation of Abram. Heaven came down through the promises of Abraham, which would be the nation of Jacob, or as his name would be changed, to the nation of Israel. And from that nation of Israel would come the Savior of mankind. And just as God promised, through the separation of mankind, the calling out of one family to be his people, we today clap our hands, we sing our songs, we rejoice in what God is doing. Why? Because today we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died and was resurrected so that we could know life, so that we could walk in freeness, so that we could walk in fullness, so that we can walk out of these doors today knowing that if something doesn't happen, if I don't make it home today, if something happens, I know I'm with Jesus Christ. Amen. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Do I want to go home to my wife? I surely do. Do I want to go to heaven? I surely do. Paul says, I'm a little betwixt by this situation. I want to be there, but I want to be here. Amen? But praise God, it doesn't matter if I'm here or there. Guess what? I'm there because Jesus died for me. Because he's my Savior, he's the promise, and we are blessed, and joy and blessing flow through every other family of mankind. Amen? Amen. Do you see what happens, church, when we take on God's perspective over our own? I've only got a couple of minutes, so I want to finish this. And I believe that God wants to do that in this church today. I believe that God wants to do that in the church today. I've been speaking to our church about spiritual discernment. Pastor, you're right. There's something that's happening. Marcus, Pastor Marcus, whoever said it. There's something that's stirring. There's something that... Oh, I'm sorry. It was the word of God. The word that the sister brought today. I've been speaking to our church about spiritual discernment. Too many Christians don't have, in America, do not have spiritual discernment today. And we're believing everything that's coming through the news channels. And we're believing that everything that's hitting us in the communities. And we're just taking it all in. Hook, line, and sinker. God says, what? Why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you doing what I'm telling you to do? We need spiritual discernment. And that word about the church awakening, I believe that this summer, I believe our church is awakening. I pray for this church that there'd be an awakening. The church has been asleep in America. Amen. We've not been praying the way we need to pray. We've not been interceding. We've not been on the streets. We've not been doing the things that we need to do. The reason why God left us here, and I think God's saying it's about time, wake up. Wake up, not just to smell the roses. Wake up and get busy.
That's right.
Wake up and do something. I blessed you. I think that was in the word today as well. Somebody said that. I blessed you with a Savior. I blessed you with the way. I blessed you with the power of the Holy Spirit. I blessed you. I blessed you. I blessed you. Now get up off your whatever you want to call it. I don't know what I can say here and what I can't say. So get up off and get out and do something. Okay? I never curse, so don't worry. That was not coming. I was going to say the B word, but I wasn't sure if it was okay. So I don't want to. I want to honor this lady pastor and this church. I believe that God wants to wake up the church today. And so I've been speaking about spiritual discernment. I'm amazed at how many Christians can't see what's happening in our world today. I'm amazed at what some churches are allowing to take place in their pulpits and in their pews today. Things that are totally against the scriptures. Things that can never line up with the scripture. And they don't even know it. It's an abomination to God. We need spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment, listen, I say that point to say this, spiritual discernment will bring with it an understanding of God's perspective. We must ask the Lord, church, to give us the ability to have His perspective for our world today. Maybe that means turning the TV off and getting to your prayer closet. Maybe it means gathering with other saints instead of just gathering with people who are, and everybody's got the loose tongues and everything else that goes on in our communities. This place is a mess. Not your church, our country. But listen, I believe God is still at work. I believe God still has a plan for America. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, we read about the sons of Issachar. Here is what the Bible says about them. This verse has always been a verse that God has brought back into my life constantly. Listen to this. He's listing all the men of David. I think it's the men of David he's listing here. But here's what he says. Listen. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. Let me read that again. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. There was a group of brothers that knew the times they were living in. There were a group of brothers that understood God's plan for the world that they were living in, for the day that they were living in. And they understood what the times would be like, and they understood how to operate in those times. Amen? We need that, church. Yes. We need a church today that understands the times that we are living in from the scriptures and from God's perspective. But we are so focused on the news, we are so focused on the spin of the media, that we tend to miss God's perspective. But God is still at work. God still has a plan for His church in the world today. And listen, brother and sister, God still has a plan for you in the church in the world that it's in today. Too many people sitting in pews saying, well, brother so-and-so will do it. Well, sister so-and-so will do it. No. We're wearing people out in the church, and God has blessed us. The Apostle Paul says, you have who you need in the pews. There's all giftings and diversity of giftings and measures of faith and all of these other things. It's just we need people to begin to rise up and say, I'll do it, I'll do it. Oh man, my timer went down to zero. Do I have a couple more minutes, sister? Thank you. I want to be obedient. How many will give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. I'm good. I'm good to go. But you need to rise up, not because of the things you hear, but because of the God that says, this is where I have you in the time frame of humanity for the job that I've called you to do what I called you to do. Amen. These scriptures show us that we must allow the Holy Spirit to realign our perspectives with His. That is, that it becomes our life perspective, that it becomes our world perspective, that it becomes our spiritual perspective, and that it becomes our time perspective. Time perspective, Pastor, what is that? We need to recognize that God sees the whole length of time and that He has a plan at every stage of it. Yeah. See, we live in the now. We've experienced the past. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. God has been in the past. He continuously visits it. He's been in the future. He continuously visits. Can you prove that, Pastor? Says that His mercies are new every morning. So He's been in my tomorrow to put the mercies that I need in the places where I need them, so that when I walk into tomorrow, they're there. Amen. And so He goes into the future. He sees it all. He understands it all. And He understands how the beginning and how the now tie into the end. We don't. And so we will miss it, church. If we aren't moving, we will miss it. If we aren't ministering by the power and the leading of His Holy Spirit, we need to be people that see everything from God's point of view and not ours. That cancer may seem unbeatable. The world may seem unredeemable. The situation at your job may seem unbearable. The mountain may seem unsurmountable. But when you step back and when you see God first, then the thing will look much smaller and it will look much more manageable, because no longer is it you trying to manage it, but it is the very Spirit and the very presence of God. And so we need to stop what we're doing, and we need to trust the Lord in all things. 2 Kings 6:11 to 17. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called the servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, I don't have time to read it. You know the scriptures probably. It's Elisha. And Elisha, the armies of the king are coming against Elisha and his servants. And they come out of the cave, and Elisha looks out, and he's not too bothered. He's got God's perspective. But his servant's a little scared. And if I could show you what his servant's doing, Elisha, I think we should run. Elisha, I think maybe God's not in this. Elisha, I think maybe the doctor's right. Not that he's wrong. Elisha, I think that, Elisha, I don't know. And Elisha says, "God, open his eyes so that he may see your hosts, the army of God that is with us." And it says that the servant's eyes are opened. And though he saw the army coming against him, he saw the hills ablaze with the hosts of heaven. And I want to tell you, when hosts of heaven show up, they're big. And when hosts of heaven show up, they've got swords. And they've got shields. They don't even need that, because they've just got the power of God. And I want to tell you, Elisha and his servant were okay. Because they were in greater hands and greater numbers than anybody. Ooh, there's a scripture that says that. Something about when somebody comes against me, a greater is he, right? Who's in the... Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly, yeah. Amen. Praise God. I need to stop there today. I wish I could go on. But church, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? What eyes are you looking at your situation through today? What perspective are you looking at the world from? What perspective are you looking at what's taking place here from today? What perspective is working in your life? It makes a huge difference. Let me say it again this way. We need God's perspective. Amen. The reason that I'm here is because God is granting this church a new perspective. It's not that he's changing the old perspective. He's lining up with the perspective of this church from 21 years ago. And he's adding to it. And that's why your pastor shared what she shared today. So that some of you maybe who didn't know that, thank God I was here to hear that. Because it's a blessing, it's a confirmation that God has been involved in this. And God will continue to be in this as long as this church has God's perspective. Amen. Two new pastors are officially being added to the church ministry team. That's exciting. That's new. This is new. This is what I believe is God's perspective for the healing place at Livingstone Fellowship. And who knows where God's going to take this. Now, if you have missed God's perspective on this, what's happening today, please be careful. Don't speak against it. Don't fight it. I'm not saying that I know anything or that there is anybody like that. I'm just saying be careful. Ask God to make it clear to you. Ask God to open up your heart to what he truly is doing here, because you'll be blessed. Remember, godly perspective brings unity and blessing. For the scripture tells us that this is of God's hand for this fellowship at this time of human history. What scripture, Pastor? God constantly talks about how he puts people in place, how he lifts people up, how he promotes people, and how he does things within the body to make sure the body can carry on in the ministry that it's supposed to be carrying on in. Amen? Amen.